And time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Tonight, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by technical editor Kira Pace and teacher Lori Fisher. And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're encouraging your participation in every way possible. So please settle back, and hopefully you will give us a call with a question or give us a call with an answer. We'll accept either one. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we actually have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, and whatever Kira brought in. So we are looking forward to hearing from you. If you would like to email us with a comment or a question, we don't read them during the show, but they always get read. So that email address is mindsovermatter1, MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral 1, so that's mindsovermatter1. @gmail.com. It's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, and so feel free to go ahead and contact us that way if you want to send a message. And if you would like to hear this show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org, where they have a live stream. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show or listen to the podcast, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org, and a little later on iTunes and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. A few words about our party last week. We had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time hosting our guests / listeners / donors, and it was a pleasure to meet everybody. I know they seemed to enjoy it.
They seemed to.
I got some very nice email messages from folks saying how much they enjoyed the party. So nobody got hurt. So it was
not that we know of.
And hopefully some new people will even call in with some of the great questions that we heard in our pre-show.
That's right.
That would be very nice.
If we didn't get to your questions last week, we had people coming into the studio and reading their own questions. If we didn't get to you, there were other people left on the list before, you know, by the time the show ended. You can ask them tonight if you like. Also want to ask you, if possible, we were giving out T-shirts just before the show broadcast.
They have to return them?
They are very limited edition T-shirts. I mean, you chose treasure them the rest of your life. And we want to ask you, if possible, send us a picture of yourself in the T-shirt.
Oh.
I would like to see that. So if you're in the mood to do that, send us a picture at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. of yourself in a T-shirt, and the Minds Over Matter 25th anniversary T-shirt.
Listening to the show. They could pretend to be listening to the show.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
Or just in a random place in the world. Like the weirder spot, the better. Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah.
You should probably wear pants while you're wearing the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Don't tell them how to live their lives.
Well, it's up to you. If you're just from the waist up, it doesn't matter.
Don't judge them.
And if you have any random pictures of the party, we do have some pictures of the party, but if you'd like to send us any of them, that would be fine. I don't know if any of you took pictures while you were there. So I guess the bottom line is we hope you really had a good time, because we had a good time having you here.
It was a delight.
Yes.
Meeting everybody, it was a real delight for us. It was kind of a love fest.
So thank you very much for coming, all of you who attended, and we look forward to. And thank you to the staff, Annette, and, of course, our new general manager, Tina, and our old general manager, Matt, who were also there, and for all their work, and to the people that supplied our food for all of that.
A lot of helpers, a lot of moving of furniture.
And all the volunteers.
David set things up, so we had our audience was massive.
Right. And all the people that moved chairs around, I guess we're all alumni of that because we helped move chairs around after it was over.
And thank you for the donation food, too.
That's
or
right.
Donation drinks.
Yes. And yeah. David, of course, yeah. David Latulippe and Steve Wilcott, and everybody who helps with the show. So anyway, the bottom line is thank you very much. And we hope you will show up again for our 30th anniversary.
Hope we do.
Yeah. Exactly. So all that being said, we're going to start with the round introductions. And here's the first. Keira Pace brutally stubbed her toe shortly before the show, and the pain is currently all she can think about. So if anyone wants to call in with questions whose answers are ouch or my freaking toe, Keira would consider it a solid.
I think I tore the nail back like halfway.
Really? That so. Bad?
No, it's real
you
bad.
Stub
it's
no
real
one.
Bad.
No one
I
wants
just,
to hear that.
I know. Just on a wall.
That's not a stub.
On a wall.
On a wall.
That's more than a stub.
Yeah. No, it's brutal, though. Oh, it's brutal.
Right.
So
all right.
Help
we'll
me
watch
out.
Over you.
Yeah, thank yeah. you. Okay. Lori Fisher was surprised and a bit disappointed to learn that today, October 21st, is the official day celebrating things he doesn't much think should be celebrated. National Reptile Awareness Day and National Pumpkin Cheese Day.
It cheesecake. Or is it cheese?
I
don't know. You're
I don't
reading
know.
It. Okay.
I'm reading what you wrote. Okay.
Yeah, one of those.
Cheesecake makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm with you. That's not worthy of celebration.
Yeah.
He's still lobbying unsuccessfully for a National Minds Over Matter Day. He'll keep you posted. So does this mean that when you're in Orlando next, you will not be going to Gatorland?
It looks like I won't. I certainly won't go on October 21st, which is National Reptile Awareness Day.
I know.
It'll just
be
too
crowded.
Many. Yes, you're
right?
Packed.
I thought all of Florida was Gatorland.
It mostly is, but there's one area where they will actually feed frozen whole chickens to the gators, and really you can only see that in Gatorland.
Every so often I hear the story about the woman walking her dog too close to the pond. So.
Yeah, an urban legend, I suspect.
It's not an urban legend.
Nope.
It's happened a week ago.
Happens every
ago.
Week,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, and I'm not anti-reptile. I don't want a lot of calls. It's just I don't think there should be a National Reptile Awareness Day. I don't think we need it. We're all very aware. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, hopes that our guests of last week saw only the tinsel and not the heartbreak behind the making of our show.
All right.
We kept that a secret.
Yes. Now I dried my tears. We'll go on. All right. We will begin with Keira Pace.
All right. I've got a couple of related questions for you.
Related to what?
Related to each other.
Oh, all right.
Related to her toe.
I'll ask two at once because if you get one, you'll probably get the other. A comic strip character inspired what popular song from 1923 with lyrics by Billy Rose? And also, heebie-jeebies and horse feathers are two terms coined in comic panels by what cartoonist?
If only Jerry was here, you would know.
Is Little Orphan Annie the first one?
No.
Oh, not. Okay, I thought it was. I thought Billy Rose
was. Is Alley-Oop the first one?
No. Nope.
So it's a 1923...
The song is from 1923. The comic strip predates it a bit, by a couple years.
And the other question, the heebie-jeebie question, is a different author, yes?
It's the same thing. Same comic strip artist. This comic strip artist has a very famous strip, but then he also did comic panels and things like sports pages, so he had one-offs. Which I believe is where heebie-jeebies came from. It was one of the one-offs in a sports page panel.
Is the title of the song the same as the title of the strip?
It's half the title of the strip.
Oh, Barney Google?
There it is. Oh, Barney Google
with his googly eyes.
Googly eyes. That's correct.
Oh, nice.
So do you know who the artist was for Barney Google and
I do
Snuffy
not.
Smith?
I do not. Is it George something?
It's not.
Okay.
But I can just ask you the follow-up question, which is, what do the X's on a jug of moonshine signify? Speaking as we now are of Snuffy Smith.
I always took it to mean it was illegal, but obviously it's more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the alcohol content of the moonshine?
It has to do with that, yes.
Does the X stand for 10?
No. But Lori's on the right track. It does affect the alcohol content.
How long it's been in the still? Or
Not how long it's been in the still, but...
How many drinks you take before you pass out?
No.
When it was made?
No.
Then? Okay, so not it's not a time thing. It's
No. Content. You were getting closer, but now you're getting farther.
All right. Cold and hot.
And Laura, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. with a question? Okay.
No, with a song. Thank you very much.
All right, so this one is from our studio audience. Sue Schweik asked this question, which was... how should I put this? The New York Times reviewed the original Halloween this week, mm-hmm. the one from the 70s. It was the first time they reviewed it. How come?
Because there was a newspaper strike going on at the time.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine, this is a follow. This is I'm using a page out of Kira's book. This leads into something else. So there was a newspaper strike at the time.
Barney Google.
So you're two bells down.
Oh.
There you go.
And that's why. So they reviewed the original 1978 Halloween this week, and they had a review of it. But what was the big story? The bigger story than missing Halloween, when the New York Times strike was on. Was what? What story did they miss, and how was it parodied later on?
This is what, 1979?
78.
Okay. 1978.
Yeah.
Is this a national story?
International.
Oh, it's not Iran.
It's not.
Yeah, it's a little later.
That's a good guess, though. Something to do with the Pope?
It is something to do with
the
Pope.
Is the Pope being shot?
The Pope is not being shot.
The Pope dies and the new Pope is elected?
The Pope lasted just 19 days, so his entire reign was not covered by the New York Times.
Oh.
He was both invested and then divested. And I'll just give you, so there was a parody thing that came out called Not the New York Times, and the headline of it was Pope Dies Yet Again. Reign is briefest ever, and it claimed he reigned, the latest Pope reigned for 19 minutes. Anyway, so thanks to Sue Schweik for that.
Give us another question.
Okay. I'll ask you this one. These are two kind of local color questions. They have to do with San Francisco. Let me just ask the first one. What neighborhood in San Francisco, what's the kind of official name of the neighborhood in San Francisco that includes these streets? Oxford, Amherst, Cambridge, and Bowdoin.
Oh, it's Excelsior.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's right here in this neighborhood. Yeah. I didn't know that. So give her a bell, and then I'll follow up with this one.
I thought that we were the Portola district.
Not where those streets are. Wherever the real estate people kind of mark that line, it's Excelsior. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one is, although Lombard Street gets kind of all the fame for being the steepest street in San Francisco, it's not. What is the steepest street in San Francisco?
Oh, the steepest?
It is.
Well, Lombard is the crookedest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people often think it's the steepest, but it's not.
No, even Filbert right next to it is steeper. But is it Filbert?
It's Filbert between Hyde and Leavenworth, 31.5 degrees.
Oh, I love taking people down Filbert whenever they come by.
I think Vermont is pretty steep, too.
Yeah. Well that's why it gets...
Hill, yeah. Anyway, so they measured them all, and so that was at Filbert Street and Excelsior. Very nice. All right. Good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is this... philosophy talk?
No.
Oh,
sometimes.
Oh, okay. Hey, on the question about the moonshine?
Yeah.
Is that how many times it's been through, redistilled to clean it up?
That's exactly right. Oh, how many times
good.
The moonshine batch has been run through the still? Three times, or XXX, makes it pure alcohol.
Oh.
Okay, so I got a question for you guys.
All right.
Anyway, this is Dan and Jerry from Mesquite, and we enjoyed the party immensely.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. So, this is a greater Bay Area history question. In 1971, there was a fella who got mad, and he stopped talking for 17 years. He stopped talking. And he stopped riding in motorized oil-fueled vehicles for 23 years. In the meantime, he walked across the United States. He stopped in Ashland, Oregon, went to school, got a bachelor's degree. He moved on to Montana, where he got a master's degree. And then he walked on over to Madison, Wisconsin, where he got his doctorate. This whole time, he taught classes, still never never said a word. And then he kind of moseyed on over to the East Coast. Then he got on a sailboat because he couldn't go on a fueled vehicle. He sailed to South America, and he walked across South America. This was on his quest to walk around the world. He didn't make it around the world, but he still lives right north of San Francisco. And
now, is this person, would you say this person was famous?
He's famous in, say, environmental circles and philosophy sort of things. And he
taught, even though he didn't speak.
Isn't that something? You know what one of the names of his classes was?
How to be quiet.
Discussion.
Yeah, talk amongst yourselves.
I should try.
So, I don't know why. No.
Well, why did it? What set it off in 1971? What set him off that he got mad?
Something to do with the environment or the Nixon administration?
The environment.
This isn't the Stewart brand, is it?
Nope.
I don't know why I thought that, because of the Whole Earth catalog, I think.
He spoke.
Yeah, he spoke.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, eventually.
He spoke again 17 years later on Earth Day to his family, and then he came out and spoke to everybody.
When you say his name, is our audience going to recognize it?
Some will, I suppose.
His family.
Yeah. I don't think we have the slightest idea.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should leave it out there because it's a fascinating story.
All right, we'll leave it out.
And somebody will.
All right, we're going to put you on hold for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And, all right, let me do a couple of questions here. What is the creature in the animal kingdom or the greater kingdom of all living things on Earth that has the largest brain in relation to its body size? What is the creature in of all creatures living on Earth that has the largest brain in relation to its body size?
I'll just go with the... I'm just going to say human.
No.
Okay.
How arrogant you are.
I was going for the arrogant answer.
I'm thinking some small animal like a spider or... Because they have a, you know, or an insect even. Like the bee's brain isn't big, but the bee's not that big.
Right.
I'm going to say the spider.
No.
Okay. Am I right to go smaller than human?
I don't think I'm going to say one way or another. So of all living creatures on Earth, which one has the largest brain in relation to its body size?
What about the octopus?
Not the octopus. Okay. So they're pretty smart.
Yeah, they're super smart, and they got some big heads. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it okay if will you tell us if it's an aquatic or not? Because, you know,
it's not aquatic.
Okay.
That helps.
Yeah, yeah.
That is helpful because I was also thinking dolphins. So, nice question.
It won't be a tuna.
No, it won't be a tuna.
Man of war.
No. Okay. No. Not a blowfish or anything like that. And, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you seven letters, and I want you to tell me the most common name in the U.S. that begins with that letter. Okay? Mm-hmm. So seven letters.
First name or last name?
Last name. Seven letters, and I want you to tell me the most common name, common last name that begins with that letter in the United States. Number one, Z. Number two, E. Number three, Q. Number four, Y. Number five, U. Number six, X, and number seven, V. So again, what are the most common last names in the U.S. that begin with these letters? Number one, Z, number two, E, number three, Q, number four, Y, number five, U, number six, X, and number seven, V. I'll take, you can give me a guess if you want.
I'll try E for Evans.
That is correct.
Yes.
Very good.
I'll go with Y for Young.
And that is also correct. Very
nice.
Good. Excellent. Okay. All right. E is for Evans. The most common last name begins with E in the U.S. And Y is Young. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. So I'm really sorry I missed your good party last week.
You're not sorry. You would have been here.
I will make it.
Did you hear how many questions about Egypt there were?
No Egypt today, but the Bible in a second. But I'd like to have all of our prayer for that man, Khashoggi, who was butchered by the savage. I don't call them kingdom. I call them shikhdom. Nomads. Terrible people. In the first 3 months of this year, 2018, according to the United Nations, how many Saudis victims were beheaded in the first 3 months?
Well, we try not to talk about
politics
on the show.
Well, you know,
beheadings.
And beheadings, yes.
Presidential. 48. Okay, I'll answer my own question. Okay, the second question about the Bible, all right?
Yes.
Her name in Hebrew means the wicked one. Who is she?
Is it maybe Jezebel?
Yes.
Very
nice.
Good.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Very good. Who is her famous husband?
Henry Fonda in the movie. Who is her famous...
Biblical husband.
Ahab?
Very good. Very good. Give yourself
nice.
A bell.
Yeah.
All right. What nationality? She was not Hebrew. She came from another nation. Do you know which one?
Saudi Arabia.
that part of the world was so small, you can walk it.
I'm going to go.
Actually, people walk them. They had no cars.
Go.
Egypt?
By the way, camels were not very common there. Egypt had no camels whatsoever. They were in the rest of the Middle East, but they were not very common either. People walked. What do you think?
Well,
Isabel came from where?
Was she from Persia?
No.
Don't know.
I will tell you the name. The current name of the country is Lebanon. What was the ancient name?
Oh.
It wasn't Canaan. It was...
No, Canaan is actually... This was Palestine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the country is today... The name of it is today is Lebanon. And she is from there.
No, I don't know what the ancient name was.
I don't either.
Sorry.
Phoenicia.
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 Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Kira, it's your turn.
All right. I've got a list for you to write down.
Oh.
And it's music. So, you know, this is all for you, Dana.
We'll see.
All right. Pink Floyd, Pigs. Devo, Whip It. Bruce Springsteen's The Ghost of Tom Joad. Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil, Led Zeppelin's Ramble On, and finally, the Crash Test Dummies' Afternoons and Coffee Spoons. These are all songs whose names or the contents of the songs are based on literary works. So let me know what literary work is attached to each of those songs or albums.
Once more.
Pink Floyd, Pigs. Devo, Whip It. Springsteen's The Ghost of Tom Joad. The Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. Led Zeppelin's Ramble On. And Crash Test Dummies' Afternoons and Coffee Spoons.
Go.
Well, two, I know two. The Ghost of Tom Joad is The Grapes of Wrath.
That's correct.
Steinbeck. Mm-hmm. And I think Afternoon and Coffee Spoons is the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock by T.S. Eliot.
Good.
Yes.
Huh.
I'll leave Whip It and Pigs to Mr. Rodriguez.
Yeah, Whip It. I don't know. Is Whip It something to do with the Marquis de Sade?
No, that's a great guess. That is a fantastic guess, but no.
And a fun guess, but...
It is.
And is Pigs anything to do with Animal Farm?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Napoleon Orwell's. And Snowball?
Yeah, so it's based on Orwell's Animal Farm.
All right. Sympathy for the Devil. Did you get that? Is that from a poem?
No.
Was that a title taken completely from the work whose title you want?
No. Sympathy for the Devil is not the title of the book. It is a book.
So what part of that title is taken from the literary work?
Actually,
none of it.
The song itself, the characters in the song are based on a novel.
All right.
Same with Led Zeppelin's Ramble On. That's not taken from, and actually same with Devo's Whip It. All of these have to do with the content of a novel, three different novels, but nothing to do with the title of the novels.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul on the Carnell Show.
Hey, Big Radul.
So my favorite topic, Hollywood, is what I got questions for. And the first one is, what individual had 940 movie credits and won 7 Oscars?
Well, it's not an actor, right?
Correct.
Songwriter? Song?
Close.
Score?
Still close, but no cigar.
But something to do with music?
Sort of.
Okay, so maybe sound editing?
Yes, there you go.
So, how about sound? Well, the person who was at MGM such a long time was Douglas Shearer.
That's it.
All right.
Nice.
That was Norma Shearer's brother, by the way.
Right. So
that's really good.
And they were the first brother-sister to win Oscars in the same year. And do you know what films they won for?
Well, she won for Free Soul. He did not win for the same picture. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
If you give me somebody maybe that was in the picture, I might be able to get it.
Let me think. I think Wallace Beery was in it.
About The Secret Six?
No.
1931?
Actually, no, well, no, I think 1930, but I didn't have... I had Norma Shearer. The answer I had was the divorcee.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right, and I was wrong. So, 1930. Okay. Wallace Beery. How about Min and Bill?
No. A little more serious than that.
More serious than Min
more
and Bill?
More serious than Min and Bill. Wallace Beery. Billy the Kid?
No.
I have to go through the MGM films, 1930 now. I can go through some of them, but not all of them.
Well, I hope by saying Wallace Beery, I haven't misled you, but I'll tell you because maybe I did. It's The Big House.
Oh, The Big House. Yeah, he's in that. He's in that. Yeah, you're right.
And my second question is, the character actor Sidney Greenstreet only appeared in 23 films. And of those 23 films, Peter Lorre co-starred or was also in the cast in 9 of them. How many do you think you can get of those 9?
Casablanca and The Maltese Falcon.
Let me do it in order.
It's
easier to do it in order in my head.
Well, those are the only two I'm going to get.
Yeah, no, Maltese Falcon, Casablanca.
Well, Lorre should get 2 bells there.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Big Radul.
Maltese Falcon, Casablanca, is it Background to Danger?
Right.
The one with Paul N. Reed. The Conspirators?
Well, there's 2 before that if you're doing it in order.
No, I'm hopscotching around.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got, yes, The Conspirators is 1.
Passage to Marseille.
Okay.
The Verdict.
Yes.
3 Strangers.
Yes.
Hollywood Canteen.
Yes.
What am I missing? How many am I missing?
That's 7.
One.
What year was the one I'm missing?
Well, I don't have the years down, but I believe it was between Passage to Marseille and the conspirators.
So 44, 45. I can't think of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I didn't. I was going to try to give you, you know, the name of somebody else in the movie, but I didn't recognize any of the names, so I couldn't give you that as a hint. But it's The Mask of Demetrius.
Oh, and that's probably one of the best ones, too. I should have thought of that. Okay.
So, anyway, that's it for this week, and thank you, Lori, for serving me that great chocolate cake.
I was happy to do it.
And yeah. thanks for coming to the Barty Bigger Duel.
Yeah. Absolutely. I had a good time.
Thanks.
And thanks for giving me credit for my two before Dana started his chronological list.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, teacher, semi-retired, less and less every time I talk to him, Lori Fisher.
Teaching tomorrow.
Really? Yeah. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And we're about halfway through, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet.
Heebie-jeebies and horse feathers are two terms coined in comic panels by what cartoonist?
And he's the Barney Google cartoonist?
Yeah, and Snuffy okay. Smith. So and if Snuffy. You know who wrote Barney Google and Snuffy Smith, then you have the answer to that question. And also, I'll give you a song. You tell me the literary work it was based on. And we still have Devo's Whip It, Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil, and Led Zeppelin's Ramble On.
So Sympathy for the Devil, one of the many Faustus legends?
That's good, but no.
Oh.
I mean, it might actually be based on that, but no, it's not.
How old is the Whip It reference? In other words, what's that?
70s, early 70s.
The literary?
Yes.
So that came out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. I'm sorry, was that it? I didn't want
That's all I have. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no questions outstanding at this moment.
All right. And I asked you what were the, what are the most common last names in the U.S. beginning with these particular letters? Okay. The most common last names in the U.S. beginning with these letters. Z, E, Q, Y, U, X, and V. And so far we have E, and that is Evans, and Y, and that is Young. And I asked you also, of all the living creatures on Earth, which creature has the largest brain in relation to its body size?
Can I take another crack at that last name?
Yes.
Is that okay? Can I try for U and Underhill?
No.
Okay.
How about Unger?
No. Mm. Not the odd couple.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
This is John from Oakland.
Hi, John.
And I have a correction for the Oxford and Bowdoin Streets.
Oh, what's the correction?
So you say it's the Excelsior.
I do.
But I would say more specifically it's University Mound.
Oh.
I think but that's one of the newer names, right? Isn't that one of the
Not at all.
That University name has been
Mound, University Mound Ladies Home is from the 19th century.
Okay. I'll buy it.
And that's one of the kind of official. I've never seen that on a map. That's a great term.
University Mound.
Yeah, I love that. And so is that separate from the Excelsior?
Yeah, the Excelsior doesn't go on the other side of the park.
Wow. All right. Well, my map was wrong, but thanks.
As a 15-year Excelsior.
Now in Oakland. Eventually.
Now in Oakland.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a guess about the Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Is that Tolkien?
It is.
Oh, good job.
What a surprise. Led Zeppelin had some Tolkien songs.
Oh, yes. My goodness. They love to live those songs.
Yes, you are correct.
And then there was the question about the environmentalist.
Right, the silent guy.
So the silent guy, John Francis was his name.
Ah, excellent.
And I'm not sure what prompted it, but there was definitely something that happened in the bay. He was living in San Francisco, and something happened in the bay that had him. He stopped talking, and he walked across the country.
David just informed me that the caller earlier who posed that question said it was two oil tankers colliding. Is that what you said? Colliding near the Golden Gate Bridge an oil spill that prompted all this.
I'll accept that.
All right.
Me too.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
Have
you very
evening.
Much. You too. And whose turn is it? Kira?
I think it's mine.
I think it's your turn.
I think
is
it's mine.
Oh, is it your turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Grabby. All right, go ahead.
Well, I have no questions out there. All right, so I'm going to combine. This is a little bit like Kara's again. I'm going to combine authors and music. So I'm going to give you a list of six authors, and each one of them has at least one work, I may be wrong, in which there's a musical term or an instrument or something that relates to music. Some all pretty well known. Ready? Mm-hmm. First one is Eugene Ionesco. Number two is Lewis Carroll. Number three is Leo Tolstoy. Number four is Wallace Stevens. Number five, the Marx Brothers. Number six is E.L. Doctorow. So in each case, they have one work, and that's all I saw, so it might be that there's many works that I don't know. So they have a title of a work that involves a musical term or a form of music or an instrument or something that's...
Why don't you read
musical.
The list once more?
The list is Ionesco, Eugene Ionesco, Lewis Carroll, Leo Tolstoy, Wallace Stevens, the Marx Brothers, and E.L. Doctorow.
Go ahead. What about the Lobster Quadrille?
That's it.
Okay.
For Lewis Carroll.
Okay.
Yeah, quadrille's kind of a dance. Yeah, yeah. A very formal dance. Give her a bell on that one. I thought that one was hard.
E.L. Doctorow is ragtime.
It is. Very nice.
The Marx Brothers must be a night at the opera.
It is. Okay, so that's one more for Kira, and we'll leave the rest out.
Sorry. Oh, I only knew the Marx Brothers.
Ionesco, so. Leo Tolstoy, and Wallace Stevens.
Are you talking about the composer Ionesco?
No, I'm talking about the playwright.
The one that starts, last name starts with an I, not
yes.
an E.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I think Ionesco, but Ionesco. Everyone says right. everyone. The people I know say Ionesco. Right. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So Ionesco and Leo Tolstoy and Wallace Stevens, the poet, each has a work that fits that category.
Okay.
Good work on the others.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mark in the Tenderloin.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Let's see. I'm going to guess on the last names. Mm-hmm. I've got Zinn or Zorn.
Neither one.
Okay. Q, Quint.
That's close enough. It's Quinn.
Oh, Quinn. I know somebody named Quinn.
Medicine
and,
woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. X, I've got... is X one of the letters?
It is.
XI, it's a Chinese last name?
It is a Chinese last name, and it is XI.
Oh.
I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
She.
Is it she? Okay, good job.
Although my tones are way off, so to all people who speak any of the Chinese dialects, I apologize for
well,
that.
Well, they're much better than my tones, so yeah. There you go. Yes, so you're right about that.
Can I guess one more?
Yeah.
So one of the letters is B as in Bob?
No.
It's V like in Victor.
It's V, yeah. So the ones we have left are Z, U, and V.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Do they have any other? Oh, I've got a question.
Right.
So this president of the United States spent a good deal of his first term trying to get the island of Hispaniola to be annexed to the United States. Can you tell me who that was?
Why does this sound so familiar to me? Like something I've actually read not that long ago. This is early 19th century?
More like mid.
Mid 19th century?
Correct.
Millard Fillmore.
Keep going.
Oh.
Is it post-Civil War or pre-Civil War?
I'm not telling.
Maybe it's Civil War. Lincoln.
You're getting warmer.
Johnson.
Is it Rutherford B. Hayes?
one back.
Then Grant.
You got it.
Nice.
Yeah, he was 18th president. Yeah, he spent a lot of time. He was very... he just would not give up on trying to annex Santo Domingo and even Haiti, but it never the Congress like got in his way. And yeah, I'm reading the book by Ron Chernow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Good. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And all right, I'm going to give you the names of eight senators, eight United States senators through American history, and I want you to tell me what they have in common. Okay? These are eight United States senators, and I want you to tell me what they all have in common. John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, Thomas Hart Benton, Sam Houston, Edmund G. Ross, Lucius Lamar, George Norris, and Robert Taft. So these are eight United States senators. I want you to tell me what they all have in common. John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, Thomas Hart Benton, Sam Houston, Edmund G. Ross, Lucius Lamar, George Norris, and Robert Taft.
Are they the only eight? Is there no ninth, or did you just...
Only eight.
These eight. Nobody
That's
else.
Right. That's right.
Wow.
They're all from different states, by the way, so that's not what they have in common.
Well, there'd be many more in that list, too.
Right.
So any hint on this at all? Is it a biographical thing, or is it something they did as senators? Or they're all...
It does have to do with something they did as senators, though it wasn't all the same thing.
But
they're lumped together because of things they did as senators.
This has nothing to do with their elections, though.
No, not specifically, no.
Okay. Mm-mm. Does it have to do with a piece of legislation, maybe, that their names are on?
In a couple of cases, perhaps, but it could also be legislation they were against. It's for things they did as senators that they are.
So is this a process together. Thing, like filibuster or voted against cloture or voted cast a deciding vote for impeachment or not?
And again, there's a little of that. And as I say, they're for individual actions that they made as senators. So once more, John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, Thomas Hart Benton, Sam Houston, Edmund G. Ross, Lucius Lamar, George Norris, and Robert Taft.
They do it on the floor of the Senate while the Senate was in session?
Yeah, most of these have to do with an active, something they actively did on the floor of the Senate, yeah.
I think this is a great one for our studio audience.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you doing? Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Okay, Maddie believes that the steepest, and she looked it up, at Bradford Street in Bernal Heights, which has a 41% grade.
Well.
I have to say that I've also looked this up before, too, and there is no definitive answer because the measurements are always different. The grades that are assigned to these roads are different based on who does the measurement. So I'm kind of with Maddie on this one.
Yeah.
But Filbert is super steep and way fun to drive down.
Yeah. Yeah, we drove down Vermont Street one time, and that was like, really cool.
Like a roller coaster.
Turning down Lombard Street.
But we stand corrected. Thank you, Maddie.
You're welcome. last name, letter Z. How about Zachary?
Not Zachary. I have Z here. Wait a minute. Not Zachary. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Zimmerman.
Zimmerman is correct.
Oh.
All right. Tolstoy, his book is Kreutzer's Sonata.
It is. Very nicely done.
Which is an interesting thing about art begatting art, because Tolstoy's was based on Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata, and Leo Janáček wrote a string quartet called Kreutzer Sonata, which was based on Tolstoy, which was based on Beethoven.
Nice. I did not know that last part. Very good.
Looking at my notes. Heebie-jeebies, is that from the Katzenjammer Kids?
Nope.
Okay. And I have some questions that I was going to regale you with last week, and it's just it has to do with famous people playing minor league baseball.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. What politician played D-ball for the Pittsburgh Pirates organization in 1950?
This isn't Castro, is it?
No.
Tried out for the Yankees.
The Yankees?
Yeah, I think.
Or was it the Senators?
I thought that was the Senators.
The Senators, I think.
That's always what I heard.
Or maybe.
I think it's like a completely fake story, as it turns out. But
anyway, it's
a better story. Yeah. Is, yeah. Politician, 1950. Okay.
What's the highest office this person reached as a politician?
Governor.
How about Mitt Romney's dad?
No.
Okay.
Governor. No.
What's the New York State guy? His kid's in politics, too. I've just lost his name.
Cuomo?
Cuomo. What about Cuomo?
It is Mario Cuomo.
Oh, nice. Good you.
Oh, good very
you.
Good.
Second one. What game show host played C and D ball in the Philadelphia Phillies organization in 1951 and 52?
Peter Marshall.
No.
Ooh.
Eubanks.
No.
51 and 52. Game show host.
His heyday was in the 70s.
Is it
Wink Martindale?
No.
Oh, that's good. No, Match Game. Gene Rayburn?
Not Gene Rayburn.
Oh, that's too bad.
Nope. We don't know.
Nope. Burt Convy.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I don't think of him as a game show host for some reason.
Yeah.
He was he did Tattletales and took over Password after Alan Ludden died.
Yeah. All right, one more.
Okay, country singer. What country singer played D-ball for the New York Yankees organization in 1953 and C-ball for the Cincinnati Reds organization in 1960?
Country singer.
53 and 60, so he was hanging around baseball a lot. When was he a big country star? After that, right?
After that, yeah.
I'm sorry, what were the... You said Cincinnati and where?
Yankees.
Okay.
And it was 1953 and 1960. He was kind of jumping in and out. He may have been drafted, too.
Charlie Rich.
That part. No.
Hank Williams.
No, he's dead.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Junior?
Still alive there.
No.
Yeah, Hank Williams Jr.
Not Johnny Cash, because I think he was, like, sticky.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, he was on the West Coast by then, too. Right?
George Jones.
No.
Lefty Frizzell.
Merle Haggard.
Ooh.
No.
That's good. Charlie Pride. No, I
it
said
that. It is Charlie Pride.
Oh,
it is
nice.
Charlie Pride?
Nice.
Okay. Well, it's only because we went through all the country singers I could remember.
Well, 50,
yeah, from around
53.
That time.
That's early.
And look at my notes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're done.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
And let's see. Kira, if you have a short question, go ahead.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I do, and I have to find it, so give me a second. Sorry, it's so many papers.
All right, we'll
here.
Take a call. Okay. While you're looking for it.
Okay.
No, if you got it?
I do.
Okay.
What state is the Peach State?
Georgia.
Right, and what two states actually produce more peaches per year than Georgia?
California?
That's one of them.
All right.
That's the West Coast one, then there's one on the East Coast.
Take a bell on California. So maybe it's near Georgia.
Makes sense. Is it near Georgia?
It is.
Florida?
No, other side.
South Carolina?
There it is.
All right. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Stephen and Sherry in Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi. That was such a fun party. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for being here.
I want to follow up on my New Deal deal. And so I was thinking about the TVA and Tennessee Valley Authority, and I wanted to ask how many how many states besides Tennessee were New Deal sites?
A lot. I would.
Well, let me give a hint because it's late. 21 sites, or 21 projects, rather, under the new under the Tennessee Valley Authority. 21, and there are five states involved, and one would assume the majority is Tennessee, and that's true. But there are four other states
that had TVA projects.
Right.
Okay.
Because do they have the TVA projects because they are affected by the series of dams and that the TVA was
is
in
the question,
charge of?
Is the question to name the states?
Well, yeah, it's to name the states, right?
Okay.
And dams were obviously the most important, but then there's a second part to the question with regard to what other projects besides dams. So first, how many other states? Or I already said there were four other states, so which states were those? And then projects besides dams.
Is Ohio one of the states?
No.
Arkansas?
I suspect they're all south, right?
Yeah, they're all around Tennessee. Hint.
Yeah, so Kentucky maybe?
One.
Virginia?
No.
None.
So Kentucky, not, and you said Arkansas. Somebody said Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Arkansas is across the river. Then Georgia's down. So Georgia?
No.
Georgia, yes.
Is Georgia
one in Kentucky,
sorry.
One in Georgia.
All right.
Maybe West Virginia going off to the side? Nope.
No. How about Alabama or Mississippi?
Alabama, 5. Mississippi, 0.
Okay.
And one more.
North Carolina?
4. Good. Okay, so... there were 16 dams. Out of the 21 projects, there were 16 dams. Any other ideas on what other projects?
Probably highways or roads?
No. No. One really surprised me. I'll tell you that one. It was a town, actually.
Oh.
They made a town called Norris, Tennessee. So one was a town. And another obscure one I guess I'll give is... prefabricated defense housing in Alabama.
Yeah, all right.
And then...
And I suspect that Norris was named after because of the Norris Dam, the George Norris?
The Norris Dam, yes, in Tennessee.
Right.
That's in Andersonville, Tennessee, okay. But Norris seemed... I didn't check the map with regard to how close Norris is to Andersonville, but yeah. And then two parks and one refuge, wildlife refuge, in Alabama. And the parks were in, did I lose my parks? One was in Tennessee, two were in Tennessee. I'm really fascinated with the New Deal, I guess, under the circumstances.
You are.
So, of our current situation, we could use some New Deal.
Right. Yeah.
So thanks again for the party, and thanks for the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So does that maybe give away a little bit of your question that involved George Norris? Like, does it maybe have to do with things that were named after these people?
Actually, it does not.
Right.
And George Norris was an important senator, and he had a lot to do with setting up the Tennessee Valley Authority. But no, that's not specifically what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
How are you doing? Well, I missed the party, but I'm hoping the T-shirts will go on sale on eBay.
That's the best place to look for.
I'm keeping it open. I'm hoping some of these people will sell theirs.
I think the price is up to $300 now. So.
Okay. So I have a question. Johns Hopkins announced in the last week, made international news, they're going to name one of their research buildings after Henrietta Lacks. Who is she?
Oh, she's the one who's... cells were used to create all those cures for chemotherapies and other things related to cancer.
Right.
I was hoping you wouldn't get that, but how many patents within 10% have been based on the HeLa cell? Cell line.
Is it like 1,200? It's a big number, right?
Much bigger.
Much bigger?
One more guess.
12,000.
17,000 patents.
Wow.
That's impressive.
And how much has been given to her family?
Like virtually nothing.
Initially
right?
Nothing,
yeah.
But now something, right?
The answer is zero.
Still
they
zero.
They set up a scholarship fund that may go to her family, and their family is on the board of any further uses of it. Hmm. But they're afraid to pay any money because there's cell lines, many, many cell lines that are being used and were obtained without any proper consent.
Right. Interesting.
And how long does it take her cell to reproduce?
Well, the whole point is they were quite quick, right?
They were very fast. She had a form of cervical cancer caused by a virus. And the genome of it is on the internet. It has over 4 billion characters.
Wow.
And it was the first genome of the cell. But she had a very virulent form of cancer. And nobody could culture the cells except for the scientist who obtained her cells without her consent.
Yeah. Great.
Approximately how long does it take to reproduce?
24 hours.
Very good, 22 hours.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Well, I'm looking forward to this piece of attorney eBay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. Is Vaughn Pop the V name?
Vaughn, no.
No. How about Vance?
Not Vance.
Okay. I have a question.
All right, very quickly, because we're almost out of time.
We are, okay. There was a news article this week involving a possession of Marilyn Monroe's that was being auctioned off. Do you know what it was?
I didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything.
Anybody
either.
Know?
The dress in 7-year itch.
Good guess, no.
Was it something she wore?
No.
Hairbrush, maybe?
No.
I'm afraid we don't know.
Okay, well, if you're out of time, I'll tell you. It was a Jewish prayer book that she had because she converted to Judaism when she married Arthur Miller.
Right.
It's a great answer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to clean up here. And Kira, you go first.
All right. So I'll give you a song. You give me the literary work it was based on. Devo's Whip It was based on a portion of Gravity's Rainbow.
Oh.
And all the self-help books that were listed in Gravity's Rainbow. And then Rolling Stone's Sympathy for the Devil came from The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov, published in 1967.
No, it wasn't. Marquis de Sade, I mentioned. No, but no.
And then heebie-jeebies and horse feathers are two terms coined in comic panels by Billy DeBeck, the guy who did Barney Google and Snuffy Smith.
And Lori.
Let's see. Eugene Ionesco wrote The Bald Soprano, a very well-known absurd play. And Wallace Stevens, one of his poems, there might be more, was The Man with the Blue Guitar, I think based on a Picasso piece.
Okay. Let's see here. The most common last name that begins with these letters, the only two that nobody got, U is Underwood, and as in that Kevin Spacey thing, and V is Vasquez, or Vasquez.
Yeah.
And let's see. The creature on Earth that has the largest brain in relation to its body size is the ant.
Oh. Mm. The senators.
And the senators, John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, Thomas Hart Benton, Sam Houston, Edmund G. Ross, Lucius Lamar, George Norris, and Robert Taft. They were all the 8 senators that were profiled in Profiles in Courage by John Kennedy. Won the Pulitzer Prize. So,
which is a
very entertaining book, by the way. And if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott. And, of course, our thanks to you, not only for coming to the party last week, but for listening to the show and listening to the show every week, actually. So we appreciate your listenership very much, and we hope you'll stick with us, and we'll keep doing it as long as we can. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and please join us next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye. It's Frank. It's gotta be this or that.